The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But now we're going to talk about Israel and Palestine. As you know, Ireland's recognition of the state of Palestine has been condemned by Israeli officials and drawn the ire of many in the United States. Israel say they're going to review Ireland's diplomatic, economic and humanitarian activities within Israeli borders, with the Israeli ambassador Dana Ehrlich saying government-funded NGOs may come into question as regards their activities. Well, I'm joined now by Scott Lucas, professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin, and Pat Leahy, political editor for the Irish Times. Good morning and welcome to you both. Pat, we'll talk to you first. Do you think the government anticipated the response that Ireland's intended recognition of Palestine would have?
Yes, I do, Pat. I think that it was entirely to be expected that Israel would react furiously. This wasn't, after all, a surprise. It was flagged as far back as March at a summit in Brussels by the previous Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, and has been reiterated on a number of occasions since, both by Simon Harris and by Micheál Martin. So the Israelis would have been aware of what's coming, or what was coming. They had obviously, you know, put the Irish government in no doubt as to their opposition to it. Simon Harris spoke to the president of Israel on the phone last weekend, where I think they had a fairly robust exchange of views on it. But as to the furious response in Jerusalem, the recalling of the ambassador for consultations, I think all of those things would have been foreseeable by the Irish government.
What was probably not foreseeable was the dressing down of the Irish ambassador and the Spanish ambassador and the Norwegian ambassador in public, more or less, in Tel Aviv, because they were brought in, they were shown video which had been released by the families of those who had been taken hostage, five female military personnel taken hostage by Hamas. A fairly disgusting stuff, to be fair. And not alone were they shown this, they were made to watch it in the presence of the press.
Yeah, I think that was pretty undiplomatic behaviour, and there's a good deal of annoyance about it around Irish government circles. Micheál Martin gave vent to some of that yesterday. There is, though, a belief in Israel, and it's probably a reasonably well-founded one, I think, that countries such as Ireland don't really appreciate the extent to which the attacks by Hamas on October the 7th have affected basically everybody in Israel, and just the magnitude of that event for Israel. I mean, I suppose the Irish government position would be that doesn't excuse the assault on Gaza and the toll in civilian lives there. But I think that is the point that the Israeli government was making.
And they also put out a video on X, an Irish dancing video, with kind of satirizing what Ireland had done and expressing gratitude from Hamas for the Irish contribution to their cause.
Yeah, I mean, that was a peculiar thing, I think, for any government minister to put out. It may be the appropriate to the medium, I suppose. But again, it's pretty undiplomatic behaviour. And I think that, you know, Ireland's been very, very clear, both publicly and privately, to Israel that it does not support Hamas. It is not aiming to give succor to Hamas or anything like that it regards Hamas as a terrorist organization and won't have anything to do with that organization. And you know, that's beyond question. At the same time, it is true that Hamas has welcomed this and sees this as a bit of a boost. So, I mean, Israel is clearly right about that Hamas has interpreted and is using it for propaganda purposes. I think the judgment made, and again, that was, of course, foreseeable in Dublin. I think the judgment made by the Irish government was that was the lesser of two evils.
Yeah. Now, the action by the Irish government has been characterised by some in the United States as naive, not really knowing what they were doing. In other words, it was very predictable that this would be a propaganda win for Hamas, and the Irish government didn't foresee that?
I think in the grown-up world of international relations, that was foreseeable. And I think the American reaction has been kind of interesting, because while the White House certainly said that it disagreed with Ireland's action, it didn't exactly, you know, come out and condemn what Ireland had done or call on them to reverse the move. My understanding is that just as Israel, you know, was briefed in advance by the government as to the step it was going to take, so was the United States. And I don't think that there has been even much blowback in private from the American authorities. And I think if you look at what the White House has been trying to do, I think a bit more pressure on Israel from EU countries or European countries is probably no harm from the American point of view in terms of trying to push the Netanyahu government towards a ceasefire.
Now, it's been pointed out that there are other countries which already had recognized a state of Palestine, but these countries which are now in the EU had recognized Palestine before they joined the EU, so it's not quite the same as countries that within the EU which had not recognized Palestine then deciding to recognize.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, Ireland isn't exactly an outlier in this. There's more than 140 countries across the world recognize the state of Palestine. Famously, Sweden recognized the state of Palestine in 2014. I mean, it is a symbolic step. There's no doubt about that. But symbolism matters in international affairs. You know, that's one of the reasons why we have flags and things like that. And just because something is purely symbolic doesn't mean that it lacks value or lacks impact.
All right. Do you think that this will, we still have the set piece of next week when the formal recognition occurs. After that, will it just go away?
I mean, I suppose the next step that the Irish government would be pushing for is a review of the EU-Israel trade agreement.
They've been pushing for that for some weeks now, if not months, and they haven't got any change out of Ursula von der Leyen.
Nor are they likely to, but I think, you know, they will continue to talk about that. There is optimism in government that some other European countries might make the same move. They have been talking to countries like Belgium, Slovenia, Malta, etc., to see if they might join the move. They haven't as of yet. Perhaps a second wave of countries doing it later this month, next month or so, might increase the pressure on the Israeli government.
All right. Well, we shall see. Pat, thank you very much for joining us, political editor with the Irish Times. Listening to that conversation, Scott Lucas. Scott, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
You might parse some of that American reaction for us a little bit, because we had Mike Mulvaney on The Hard Shoulder saying that all Republicans and three quarters of Democrats would disapprove of what Ireland had done.
No, that's what Mick Mulvaney would say, because Mick Mulvaney's position is very much that any recognition of Palestine, this is a matter for the U.S. and Israel to determine through discussions, through negotiations between Israel and Palestinian groups. And once you have an agreement there, then you can recognize Palestine, but not before. To simply say that is all Republicans and three quarters of Democrats share that view, that's his own spin on this. The wider spin from the White House is very much that they're losing control of this situation. Since the Oslo Agreement in the early 1990s, the whole pattern of whether or not Palestine would be recognized very much turned upon, you know, these sets of talks that really stalled out in 2000, were briefly revived in 2009, but to get Israeli-Palestinian agreement on political, economic, and security matters. And then, and only then, would you get the recognition of the state of Palestine with the U.S. anointing this. What has happened, especially in the last few months, amidst Israel's open-ended war on Gaza, and then I think symbolized yesterday by Ireland, Spain, and Norway, is that countries are no longer going to wait on that U.S. precondition, that countries are going to stake out their own territory now, at least in principle, on recognition of Palestine, which is not dependent on Israel's acquiescence. And remember, Pat Leahy pointed out, you know, more than 140 countries have already recognized the state of Palestine. It's merely been on the continent of Europe that we've been awaiting a majority to come out in favor. And if other EU states do so in the next few weeks and months, which I expect, then we'll be on the verge of that majority.
But what does recognition mean? In theory, recognition of any state is when the world recognizes that it is a state. But if you don't have the big powers saying, yes, it is a state, it's absolutely meaningless. I mean, and that is codified in the UN and the Security Council, where any one of the big powers or the traditional powers of the UN on the Security Council can say no.
And Irish, Spanish, and Norwegian officials all know that, you know, and you can listen to the speech by the Taoiseach or the Taoiseach, who said, look, we're making this recognition of the state of Palestine to come into effect after the conflict ends. Practically, you're absolutely right that whereas the majority of the UN General Assembly favors recognizing the state of Palestine and is moving towards that, this would be blocked in the Security Council, at the least, by an American veto providing cover for Israel. Other practical considerations are that you really can't recognize a state of Palestine which operates in practice while you have an open-ended war in Gaza or while Israel occupies the West Bank, and you really don't have a functioning state of Palestine while you have this question of governance, with Hamas, I think, being beyond legitimacy after its October 7th mass killings inside Israel. So all of those practical considerations are important, but what we're talking about here is the importance of principle to lay the path for eventual recognition, because you could, as long as most of the European countries stood aside from this, keep this as an open-ended question that never would have to be confronted by the Israelis. Now, if we can get to some type of ceasefire in Gaza, if we can get to some type of limited, at least, Israeli withdrawal of its military forces, then you can start those political discussions on how we get to a stable, functioning Palestine, and one which would be part of a two-state solution.
Now, the other big development we're expecting today is the decision in the International Court of Justice in response to the request by South Africa to get them to give an order to order Israel to halt its military operations in the city of Rafah. So, suppose they do issue that order. What does it mean?
It means, once again, a very important act of symbolism, which does not necessarily have an immediate effect on the ground. Your listeners will note that the ICC is already considering the South African case, supported by other countries, including to an extent by Ireland, which is the question of Israeli war crimes in the 8 months of the war in Gaza. This would further draw a red line with Israel if it chose to invade Rafah, where you still have hundreds of thousands of people who are trying to find shelter, by putting down a marker for after this conflict ends, there will have to be accountability. And we have seen this, of course, as a reminder this week with the International Criminal Court's prosecutor issuing or asking for arrest warrants against the leaders of both Hamas and Israel. Now, Israel is going to respond to this the way that it has responded to the Irish recognition of the state of Palestine. It's going to scream that it's the victim here. It's going to pursue threats and intimidation, including intimidation of Irish NGOs and Irish officials. It will do the same with South Africa and other countries. But the point here is that at least on the symbolic level, if Israel is not losing the war inside Gaza, as tens of thousands of civilians are being killed, it is losing the contest for hearts and minds diplomatically. And it knows that. And it will become increasingly desperate in statements such as those we've heard from the Israeli ambassador in Ireland.
Trying to do the sums on all of this, if 1,200 people were killed on October the 7th, the equivalent of that would be 800 people in Ireland. But the equivalent in the United States would be something like 30,000 people, which we're heading for, you know, far greater than 9/11. So do you think that the world really doesn't have an appreciation of what a shock, viscerally, all of this was to Israel October the 7th, and its response. If you bear in mind, the response of the United States to 9/11 was the invasion of a country and tens of thousands of deaths in Iraq.
I think many people in the world appreciate what Hamas's mass killing meant on October 7th. I certainly do, Pat. I've said it in every interview that what Hamas did was its own war crime that began this current cycle of violence. But what some Israeli leaders are doing, some Israeli diplomats are doing, is that they're playing one side on this. They're trying to erase or minimize what has happened since October 7th, where you have the killing of more than 35,000 people, the large majority of whom are civilians, and where they're trying to minimize and cover up that ongoing mass killing, which is taking place on a daily basis, by saying, just look at Hamas. If we are to be decent human beings, as well as decent analysts and decent journalists, we recognize that no mass killing is acceptable. It was not acceptable when Hamas did it on October 7th, and it has not been acceptable when Israel's done it in the subsequent 8 months.
All right, Scott, thank you very much for joining us. Scott Lucas, professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin. Some of the texts that are coming in: what Israel has been doing since the horrific attack on October the 7th are war crimes and the systematic erosion and theft of Palestinian lives, culture and land. Israel has no right to chastise us, a sovereign nation, on expressing our views or who we decide to recognise or not. The important point that many people do not understand is that while 141 countries recognise the state of Palestine, also the additional three EU countries who recognise the state of Palestine, Norway, Spain and Ireland. However, Israel has singled Ireland out for a vicious, childish and dangerous attack. Well, we don't know what they've done in Spanish or what they've done in Norwegian. All we know is what they have done to us in terms of their statements. And also, don't forget, the three ambassadors were brought in to be shown those videos of the young females being abducted by Hamas on October the 7th. Israel know that Ireland is its biggest competitor for American investment, particularly in IT and semiconductor investment. They use this bile and propaganda to distract from their genocide in Gaza. That's from Tony in Monaghan. And there's so many more. I'm no apologist for the IDF and their blatant disregard for the ordinary people of Gaza. That's horrific, to say the least. But our government's recognition of the Palestinian state has left me with a very uneasy feeling. The Hamas terror attack on October the 7th was beyond barbaric, and this recognition does validate their act. The reaction of both Israel and the USA is justified in my eyes. That's from Angela in Dublin 13.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.